Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Tulsa Police Department is in the midst of planning and implementing 77 recommendations made by the Tulsa Commission on Community Policing to the police department back in March. In fact, already 30% of those recommendations have been implemented, according to the police. A new 30-day pilot project gets underway next week, which will address several of the community policing recommendations. For the past month, one day a week, the TPD has been piloting a community response team for a more efficient and effective response to individuals in emergent mental health distress or crisis. These three-member teams include a police officer, a paramedic from the Tulsa Fire Department, and a mental health professional from Family and Children's Services. Well, beginning Monday, this one-day-a-week pilot program ramps up to a full 30-day trial. The idea is to clinically treat the individual by an expert at the scene to avoid costly stays in a hospital emergency room or an inpatient behavioral health hospital or jail. The CRT monitors 911 calls in real time. If a mental health call is received, the team drives to the location together and assists the on-scene police officer to de-escalate a situation or to relieve the police officer to take the next 911 call. And it's to create a more efficient utilization of fire, medical, and police services together. My guest today is Deputy Chief Jonathan Brooks of the Tulsa Police Department. We'll talk about some of the recommendations from the Commission on Community Policing as well as the CRT pilot program. Chief Brooks, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here.
I know you've had a very busy 2017 so far, looking at and implementing and starting the implementation of over 77 recommendations that came out of the Tulsa Commission on Community Policing. And it sounds like you're making some excellent progress with about nearly a third already implemented at this particular point. One of the big calls that the police department gets regularly are calls for people in mental distress or a mental health call. And you've come up with this interesting solution, which involves a number of community partners, including the fire department and mental health professionals. And I guess you're going to be starting on Monday a 30-day pilot project on this. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Absolutely. We're excited about this project. It's something that we've been working on for many months now. In fact, last summer we visited several other cities to see best practices, and we put together what we've learned would work best for Tulsa because we're unique here. We know that. And so we want to be able to serve our community in the best manner that we can. So what this project is, we like to use an acronyms. So CRT, and that stands for our Crisis Response Team. So for the first time ever here in Tulsa, what we'll see is a police officer riding with a fireman, who's also a paramedic, riding with a social caseworker, mental health professional, licensed mental health professional. They'll be together, responding together. So a lot of people ask, well, why do you do that? Well, if you think about the way we respond to calls, 911 calls, on average a month, in any given month, we respond to about 1,000 specific mental health-related calls, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that there's not more than that, because a lot of times we run into somebody in crisis just on an average 911 call. But on these 1,000 calls a month,
you know going in that this is a person in distress or a mental health situation
involved in the call. We know exactly what we're going into. And so what this unit will do now, this three-person unit cross-mixed from different agencies, is they will respond to those calls specifically. Now, what that allows us to do is free up the two police officers that would have responded before, an entire engine company from a fire station that would have responded before, an IMSA unit that would have responded before, and then a case or social worker. So you can see all the amount of resources that respond to a typical 911 call. Now we have it all combined into one unit. And they now have the ability to treat and assess and take care of the situation in the home, avoiding jail, which is a jail diversion program that we're extremely excited about. We're offering congestion in the emergency rooms in our hospitals. We're offering these other services to avoid the overcrowding in other facilities as well. So with that ability, that makes us more efficient. It makes the fire department, who now is more efficient, and it's easier for the caseworker because they're involved from the very beginning of the initial contact.
Mm. So when you've already done some one-day trials with this, how's it working in practice so far?
So what we've done up to this point is about one day a week we've been doing it in practice to prepare and kind of modify it where we're going to start our 30-day full run this next week. And so what we've done is we've also looked back. Let me just ask you a question here.
Okay.
How many times have you called 911?
Very precious few.
Okay. So what we looked at is...
But generally it's something like I'm watching a car go the wrong way on the Broken Arrow Expressway. I'm on my phone. Or, you know, there's a prowler in the area. That's
so what we did is we looked at all of our calls for service over the course of several years, and more specifically the last year and the last 2 years. And we looked at addresses and persons that were like repeat users. Now, when we looked at those and then we correlate those to mental health related issues... And then on top of that is we compare, the fire department did the same thing. They looked at their 911 calls and we did a comparison and we look, there's a lot of overlap here. And then we started seeing issues where we had certain places, addresses or individuals that were calling 100, 150, 200 times a year, and sometimes even 8 times a day.
Wow.
So the other project that this group will be taking on is looking at those and seeing how we can prevent the use of 911. And deliver services before the 911 call comes in and request emergency services out. So that in conjunction with this unit monitoring what we call all of our active 911 calls, they're monitoring and scanning through those, looking for those calls. They're also doing follow-up on the high users for mental health services and police services and fire and IMSA.
Oh, and I assume with the mental health professionals on site that all of a sudden – once you see this sort of high-volume call and you go to this location, maybe they can set up services so that the intervention's going on at a much lower level than calling 911.
Yes, absolutely. What we see is a lot of times when these calls come in, it's just because of the inability to connect to services or a disconnect of services that a particular person in crisis may need. And so their only resource is to call the police or call the fire. Mm-hmm. So that will relieve the burden on those.
Well, on these one-day trials, has the whole sort of approach, you know, the officer coming to a call changed with like a paramedic and a health professional riding together as opposed to three police officers approaching the situation? Has there been any change in how that episode unfolds just because you have a police officer, but instead of three police officers, which can cause maybe a negative reaction in the person in distress, you're seeing a fireman or, you know, a mental health professional in this situation. Does that change the approach at all?
Oh, absolutely it has. It's very interesting to hear the stories of these team members after they've been out on the RO trial runs that we've already had, the stories that they tell and how they're working together to solve problems. The approach now is that because everybody brings a different background, the fire department, the social worker, the policeman, they all have different backgrounds, different amounts of training. And when you combine those, the approach changes entirely because now they're able to tag team and approach different problems in a different aspect. Sometimes it may be the fire person taking the lead. Sometimes it may be the police officer taking the lead. It just depends on the individual situation. So what we get here is the best of everything that we have. Instead of just the policeman trying to address all the issues that we may not have the capability to do, the social worker, on the other hand, is able to take care of, maybe it's their medication. That's something that we can't do, but the caseworker can do that. So absolutely, our response has changed. Because when several policemen show up, it just raises the tension level.
Right.
Because that there's that fear. If they're already in crisis, then their anxiety level goes up. Because their fear is that they may go to jail now. And that's not our intent now. The intent is to get help and move them through their crisis and help them come to be able to be sustainable and stay in their home, not remove them.
Yeah. Now, earlier you were mentioning that said, you know, you went to several cities to look at best practices. What were some of those cities and what did you learn through the best practices?
The first and foremost city that the team went to and we sent, we have several officers on our side in the fire. They traveled to Colorado Springs and that was the primary city that they visited because they have the most cutting edge model. And so when we look at that model, that's the one that we kind of chose that everybody agreed to that that's going to work best for us. We've adapted a little bit more for us, but that's going to be Colorado Springs probably had the best one.
How did that change their outcomes, having this system that they have in place?
It kind of goes back to what I was saying before, is the partnerships, different agencies being able to work together to solve, you know, it's a problem on for each one of them, and it was a community problem. But the ultimate goal is to help the citizens and help the people that need the help when they need it. And so by combining all those resources to provide single point resource, they were solving problems. You know, they were helping people. They were helping them not be removed from the home, not go to the hospital. And so that's what we liked.
And is that really the goal of the program, is to treat the subject in their home and get them the help they need within their home to keep them from, one, committing a crime, having to go to jail? I assume if you need acute intervention, you go to the hospital, or the mental health professional diverts in a different way.
Absolutely. That is our first goal right there. For us in the police department, it's about not removing somebody from their home just because they're in crisis. It's not about taking them to jail. That's our last resort when we come to those. And then for the IMSA and the medical, you know, it's to reduce the burden on the emergency rooms for when the other emergencies come in. So keeping those beds clear. So when we do this, that's kind of the goal, because we don't want to take anybody out of what is their safe environment. Right. And that is their home. So that's the most traumatic thing that can happen to a person, is to be removed. So that is our goal, is to help them and help them stay where they're at.
Once you had the best practices and you adapted them for the city, what was the training program like as far as before these teams went out, even in their trial project?
Well, training for us was pretty intense. Over a year ago, we started a training program called, it's another acronym, CIT, which is Crisis Intervention Training. It's a national model for police to recognize and give officers tools to interact and deal with mental health issues and crisis-related issues. To date, we've trained well over 200 of our police officers in that. And most of those police officers are trained are the ones out there taking the 911 calls. So that was the initial step of the training, and that training starts at a 40-hour week. So after they've been through that training, the officers that are in doing the CRT go through more training to be able to be a part of this unit. And they're specially selected by us based on some of the criteria that we look for, whether their ability to work, do casework and social work.
And I assume there was also similar training for the paramedics and mental health professionals as far as going out in the field? Do you have to do training for those folks when they're going out with the police department?
Yes, there's a learning curve for everybody involved, because from the police aspect is, you know, we look and we have to adapt to the social worker and how they address the problem. But they also have to look and see, okay, I'm dealing with a man in uniform now, a policeman here. He's got this radio, gun, and badge on, and they have to adapt well. So there's been a lot of cross-training between those to learn each other's routines and then kind of mold each other into that one cohesive unit.
So through the month of July, you've been doing these one-day-a-week trials. What did you learn during those one-day-a-week trials?
We learned that there's a lot of opportunities for success here. I've heard some great success stories from the teams about individuals they helped. Some of them are as simple as fixing a wheelchair, right? Because
People will call 911 on something like, if you don't have anybody there. Yeah.
Well, if they fall, and because their wheelchair is broken and they fall out and they can't get back in, their only avenue is to call 911. So something as simple as that to something as complex as somebody that's threatening suicide inside the home with their family there. So they're dealing with all this multitude of call types, and to hear the success stories just on these one-day trials is so encouraging that we're excited to start this 30-day full program.
In August, you'll have this 30-day full program. Will you reassess after the end of the 30 days? What's the plans at this point?
Yes. So, again, this will be stage two of our pilot. What we want to do is be able to collect enough data and statistics to prove that this is a viable program, an efficient program for Tulsa and the community. Because if it's not, then we need to readapt and come up with another plan. If this plan is successful and we have a lot of success stories and we can show a lot of changes in the way we deliver services, because society's changing, so we must change and adapt with it. And so if we show a lot of success there, then we'll still reevaluate and maybe continue the program with slight adaptations, or just continue the program and continue our success.
How many teams will be a part of this month-long trial?
Well, we have, of course, there's one unit of three that goes out, but what we do is we rotate five or six officers that will rotate in and out of the team, and the same for the fire and the social workers.
But so, it's basically one team per shift, basically, at this point?
Yes.
If you had the funding, and we'll get into the funding in just a moment, but is that how you envision it, or would it be multiple teams within a city of the size of Tulsa?
Well, so what we've done is, since we only have the capability right now to do one team, we looked at our call volume. When is the most opportune time? What are the most opportune days of the week for these teams to be out there? What are the highest peaks of when we think we're going to get the most calls, most requests for services? So we've already done that analysis, and that's when we're going to deploy this team out. Moving forward in the future, since it's collaborative right now for the police department, the only cost associated with us is our time and the officer's time.
But for the other organizations,
such as, you know, the medical equipment that needs to be brought along for the paramedics and to be able to do the lab work in someone's house. And then, you know, we have partnerships with the hospital and the doctors that allow them to do that. We'll just have to address those costs as we come along. Right now, we're just using what we have, the equipment that we have. In the future, will that be enough? Probably not, because I anticipate that we'll need to expand the service. Now, that's just my hypothesis, so to speak, for right now. But we'll wait till the end of the 30 days and see what direction we go.
My guest today is Deputy Chief Jonathan Brooks of the Tulsa Police Department. As we get an update on the TPD's how they're implementing the Tulsa Commission on Community Policing's recommendations that came out earlier this year. And as a response to that, they're going to have this community response team pilot program for 30 days through the month of August, where they'll have a police officer, a mental health professional, and a paramedic riding together responding to mental health calls, of which there are about 1,000 a month coming into 911. And I think it's a really great thing, as you alluded earlier, is raising tensions, you know, when you have just police officers showing up. You know, we hear so many stories of standoffs, you know, in the community where, you know, it's police coming to the door, the guy barricades them, or the person barricades themselves in the house, and then you have this huge system. If you can just reduce that tension at the first knock on the door, that's a great thing.
Absolutely. That's something that we address with the officers training, because we recognize that. And that's the first and foremost thing, is just the mere presence of us in uniform can raise tension. Yeah. And so you heard us talk a lot about de-escalation and training. Well, that's where that comes into play specifically.
Let me ask you, just to sidetrack for just a moment, you know, as you're hearing people talk about policing issues all around the country, the de-escalation situation where you've had certain forces around the country where the tendency has been to push for a quick resolution and escalating tensions in all sorts of calls. Is that part of the community policing recommendations as far as how you approach every call, you know, de-escalating?
Yes, that is an integral part of every component of our training, whether they're training on car stops or they're training on just taking a report from a victim to arresting a suspect. The de-escalation and the interpersonal communication skills are the one of the most powerful weapons that the officer has in using his mind and his communication skills, because that's what we teach in every component. Unfortunately, the one thing that you don't hear a lot of is all the success stories that we have when we're able to de-escalate the situation, sometimes even hourly. It may be happening right this very minute, but we'll never hear that success story of the officer that just talked the person out of an armed and barricaded situation just because he used his training and knowledge and skills and abilities to lower the tensions and convince the person in crisis that there is another option.
Yeah. Now, we were talking about costs. From the mental health professional side, have you heard from the agencies you're working with as far as how they'll be able to handle the cost of having a mental health professional riding around with the police on a daily basis if this is a successful program and you go forward with it?
Well, right now it is difficult for everyone. As you know, we are very short on police officers. Well,
mental health professional.
The mental health, the state of Oklahoma, the funding is, it's in crisis itself. And so when we look at all these, but we look at the amount of time and energy and money that we're spending trying to do what we're doing, And then we look at this model, this CRT model, and we look at the efficiency that it can provide for all of us, because now that mental health caseworker may be able to have the ability to address several cases a day just by riding with us and prevent some walk-in cases tomorrow that reduces their time and efficiency as well. So we think there's going to be a benefit, a cost reduction. I hate to say that that's one of our goals of this, because it's really not. It's about helping people, but we're trying to be more efficient in how we deliver our services.
My guest today is Deputy Chief Jonathan Brooks of the Tulsa Police Department, as we talk about a new pilot program, part of their community policing implementation, CRT teams, community response teams. It's a pilot program which partners a police officer with a paramedic and a mental health professional to go on calls dealing with people in crisis and suffering and calling 911, and he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, as we mentioned, this is just one aspect of a number of recommendations that came out on the Commission on Community Policing. I know you were involved in the national effort on looking at community policing as well. How's the police department doing in implementing or getting started in implementing a lot of these recommendations? I think there were six pillars and 77 recommendations under those six program areas.
That's right. There's a lot of information that revolves around this community policing. And I may be a little bit biased on this, but I think here in Tulsa, we're kind of leading the country on our implementation of this. I'm not seeing a whole lot of other police departments that are engaged in the level we are on these 77 recommendations, nor tracking progress the way we are. If you go to our dashboard at cityoftulsa.org, you can look at all the 77 recommendations. You can look at where the Tulsa Police Department's at on any given one of those. And we update that as frequently as we can, sometimes often weekly, about we just checked in one off last week.
What was it?
So one of the ones we marked off last week is one of the recommendations is about the officer's wellness as well. And so in Pillar 6, I believe one of the recommendations is having a counseling program for officers and a peer-to-peer counseling services. So we've already started that program here. We will train. We've selected and identified peer counselors, and we will train them. Then the training will start this September. Yeah. So our officers will be trained for that counseling service. In addition to that, when we look at total officer wellness, which is a component of community policing, we've offered wellness programs for the officers, whether it be through nutrition and health and wellness.
I was looking through a lot of those recommendations, and a number of them are very much strong philosophical statements of how the police are going to actually police their community, like a guardian mindset as opposed to, you know, a confrontational mindset or right and wrong, that sort of, you know. And I assume the aspiration and the philosophy is in place, but getting that to filter down through the ranks to the average patrol officer based on their workload and the number of calls they have in a day, for a lot of these recommendations are really talking about how the patrolman interacts with a citizen each and every day. How long will that take to filter down through the ranks?
Well, the guardian mindset has filtered down already. We've been discussing and talking and training and educating everybody on the guardian mindset for the last 2 years. That has been the philosophy change that has been mandated, and we continually push that down through the supervisors to the officers and tell them, this is our philosophy. It's the guardian mindset.
And it's the idea that, you know, we're here to serve the citizens as opposed to...
Right. We're here to serve and we're here to protect. Mm-hmm. And that guardian is basically, when you boil that down, is guard and protect the citizens of Tulsa and protect them from crimes and try to prevent them from being victims of crimes. And so with that, the fortunate thing we have here in Tulsa is, you know, we have such a stringent background check and application process. And, you know, we're one of the very few police agencies that require a bachelor's degree. Our applicants, they already have that mindset when they apply. They already want to help and they want to serve. So with that, in conjunction with everything we're pushing through on the guardian mindset, we're very successful on that. Now, let's get to the real nuts and bolts of this question you just asked, because I think what you're getting to is the community policing aspect, mm-hmm. right? And how will that philosophy on the officer, because I can sit here all day long and tell, hey, we're doing this community policing, but if the officers out on the street aren't doing it, then we're not doing community policing.
Right.
So community policing, let's boil that down just real quick in 10 seconds. community policing, those two words, policing, obviously deter and prevent crime, right? But the community part is so integral, because that means that we're working in partnership to police. Okay, so that means we work with the community, we work with other agencies.
You're working with the neighborhood.
Neighborhoods.
Even when the neighborhoods, you know.
Exactly.
Right,
it may be that it may be a full neighborhood. It may be an individual on the street. It may be on the, happen on the corner between that officer and that person. And what they do is they work together to solve problems. And those problems relate to crime, prevention of crime, and anything, quality of life issues that surround criminal activity. So that's the integral part. So right now, our only issue is the officers want to do it so bad. They want to work on those issues. But our main frustration right now, and I'll allude to it again, is the amount of officers that we have out on the streets right now and trying to balance the volume of calls that we have coming in. Because our first and foremost job and responsibility is to respond to a citizen when they call 911. That's why we're here. If someone needs help and a crime's occurring or they need the police and they call, we go. So with the volume of calls that we have, it's difficult to for that officer to have the free time to sit there on the side of the street or in a home or with the neighborhood association and identify the problem and work on solutions for the problem, because that does take time.
Yeah. Do you see with the future ramping up of staffing that will change?
Absolutely. That's what we're excited about. So with the passage of the vision package that included the public safety component, adding more police officers to our force, right now we're in the low to mid 700s in the number of officers that we have, but the plan allows us to go well over 900. So with those additional officers, we'll be able to alleviate the call load burden per officer and allow more free time for them to work on quality of life issues, crime issues with the neighborhoods that they serve.
Yeah. Call volume to officers. I mean, what's the average number of calls an officers likely see on the average shift? Do we know?
I don't know if I could tell you exactly on a specific shift. I know sometimes there's officers that are going to, you know, 20 and up calls in just their shift. And some of those.
That's 8 hours?
Yeah, 8 or a 10 hour shift. We do both of those. But if you look at the total volume of calls coming in, and when we look at, I look at it on a weekly basis. I look at the calls coming in, and there's been weeks where we've had 18,000 calls come into the 911 center in a week.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take that volume of calls and then you try to extrapolate it out to the calls per officer, that's pretty high. And if you really think about the quality of service that we want to provide, you know, I don't want the officers to be rushed. I want them to be able to take time and spend time with the citizen they serve, not just to put a Band-Aid over a crime issue, but to find a lasting solution where they're working together for it.
All right. Well, good luck on the pilot program this coming month.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll make a big difference. We'll at least see some solid statistics that said this approach will make a big difference. Chief, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me today.
Deputy Chief Jonathan Brooks of the Tulsa Police Department speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. The TPD will launch a community response team 30-day pilot program beginning on Monday, one of 77 recommendations made by the Tulsa Commission on Community Policing. If you'd like to see how the Tulsa Police Department is meeting the other recommendations, the easiest way to find that out is going to the Community Policing Dashboard on the City of Tulsa website. Perhaps the easiest way to find it is to search for Tulsa Community Policing Dashboard on the internet. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.